Reading from Genesis chapter 31, verse 49. May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. Let me read that again, because this is the first time that during the morning edition of Mark and Friends, a couple has said, this is our special verse. And I really like this one. And now that I know this couple, I'm really encouraged by the content, the truth. And we're going to talk about this verse, why it's special to them. May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. Genesis 31, verse 49. Well, welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 20th, 2012, and I have some special friends that aren't in the studio with me. I wish they could have drove out, but very busy schedules and such, and so I got them on the line. So I'm going to miss seeing your two faces, Judd and Kathy, but thanks for being available on this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And I can't wait to introduce you to our radio listening family members, because we're recent friends, but you are a part of our phenomenal group that went to the Creation Museum this past Friday. And we had 56 people on the bus. Every single seat on the bus was filled, 55 passengers, and then the driver was the 56th. And I think for a couple hours, we had people sharing testimonies. I think about 25 different people came forward, and I encouraged them to share a little of their story. And after hearing your two stories, I knew that you were going to be my Monday guest. So thanks for carving out some time and being available this morning, Judd and Kathy.
Well, you're welcome, and it's a privilege to be on the show with you, and I just say hi to everybody else that's listening this morning.
Well, you pastor at the Faith Missionary Baptist Church in St. Joe. Now, you're kind of, what do they call it when a pastor works like full-time and also pastors on the side, bivocational or something?
That's what I call it. I've been bivocational almost all my ministry, especially until I retired from that job at Herff Jones Cap and Gown December of 2007. So now I'm undistracted.
Yeah, now they get to get lots more hours out of you. You're teaching and preaching, and prep time can increase. And actually, your honey time, too, being with Kathy maybe has increased, too, I would hope and pray. But one of the things I noticed about you two is your love for each other. And so it's so fitting that that was the verse, Kathy, that you shared with me out of Genesis, because I'm sure you're going to talk about that in just a moment. But let me make a few announcements before we get into some of your testimonies. That I think was such an encouragement to our group, and just the miraculous ways where God answers prayers, where things, even though you're a believer and a follower of Jesus, it doesn't mean life is easy. It doesn't mean that there aren't struggles and heartaches and setbacks, but that we do serve a good God whose character is true, who loves us, and ultimately things will work out. And I know through some of your testimony and sharing that our listeners will be encouraged and blessed. But I do want to share, many of you know, a couple of weeks ago, we did a special tribute to radio pastor Donald Cole, who went home to be with the Lord exactly 2 weeks ago on Saturday. Well, just this past Saturday, a few days ago, Naomi Cole, his wife for 50-plus years, also went home to be with the Lord. And how oftentimes two people that have been so in love with each other, married for many, many years together, when one goes home to be with the Lord, the other spouse follows shortly after. And Naomi Cole is no longer suffering, no longer in pain. She is in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with her husband, and they are united again. But our hearts certainly grieve. We knew Naomi for many, many years. Her and Don Cole, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, were instrumental in one of our first radio banquets, and they just were a seasoned couple that loved each other and modeled to me and so many people what a marriage should look like. And we just thank God for the Coles and the time that they got to serve the kingdom here on earth, and now they're in God's very presence. So our hearts go out to the remaining Cole family, and I just wanted our listeners to know, because many of you knew Pastor Donald Cole for so many years with his program on Open Line, and where he answered Bible questions. And he and Naomi, she would guest appearance many times, but she is home with the Lord, and so our hearts go out to them. As I referenced the Creation Museum trip, you heard us doing radio spots for many, many weeks, and we filled up our bus, and everything went according to plan. We had a glorious time all going up to the Creation Museum with a stop near Danville and then a stop at the Beef House, and 55 of us filled the bus. There was lots of testimony and sharing and snacks, and we were met by co-founder Mark Loy when we got there. toured the museum together, and then Ken Ham, one of the other co-founders, many of you are familiar with that name, who has written many, many books and resources, he also presented, and people got to have photographs with him. And if you stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, you'll see the group picture right there. We're all in front of the Ark, all 50, I think our bus driver might have been in that photo, but at least 55 of us. So stop by greatnewsradio.org and you can find out more. And maybe, Judd and Kathy, you can tell us a little about your experience at the Creation Museum. What do you think? Was it your first time there?
Yes, Mark, that was our first time there. We had intended to take our grandchildren sometime, but this has not come to pass yet. My favorite thing was at the very last to see the planetarium. That was so inspirational to me to lie back in that chair and look at what God has created, how anybody could ever deny the existence of what God has done in the planets, the earth, the moon, the stars, and all. It was just a wonderful feeling to me.
What did you think about that planetarium, Judd?
Well, I was impressed also. I was impressed, though, I guess, by seeing the things that were there with what Abraham told the rich man about, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe, though one rose from the dead. And with all the evidences that you see of creation and God's existence there, and unless people respect the Bible and believe it, they're not going to believe the truth, because God's word is truth. I really appreciate the things that they've done. They've done an outstanding job putting creation and evolution side by side in comparison. And one of the things that I saw that impressed me, too, was the difference between natural selection and evolution, which some people equate. And natural selection is something that's observable, but evolution is something that requires much more than the natural selection principle.
Yeah, I think I did evaluations. Everyone on the bus filled them out before we returned home. And over again, people were just amazed. They learned. It fortified them in their faith or their understanding of the biblical narrative. The Genesis account really scientifically can be to varying degrees verified, or this is how it happened. That makes sense. Yes, there are dinosaurs referenced in the Bible, different chapters, and there were so many things to see and learn. And I think one of the major responses that was echoed over and over again on these evaluations is we needed more time. We need to return. So Jason's already been talking about, Mark, should we do another trip down the road? So we're talking about entertaining that idea and maybe returning. I don't know exactly when, but it just all went according to plan. But one of the things that was very special for me personally was the testimony time on the bus, where I encouraged people to come on down, and I had a little spiro pad where they gave their name, where they're from, their hobbies, interests, and then I shared what's the Lord been teaching you lately and some other things. And people very openly shared their life story, coming to Christ, how they've seen God at work. And Kathy, I can't imagine what it would be like to lose a child. I've sometimes tried to ponder what that would be like for a woman, whether it was a stillborn death or having to go through the birthing process, knowing that that child wasn't going to live or had already passed away, or to lose an infant. I can't imagine. And I've sometimes pondered some of the women that I've known that have gone through that and just pray, Lord, bring healing, bring hope, bring a closeness that I just can't imagine. And I know you've had some circumstances in your life where I just marveled. You look so whole and happy and content. And yet you've been through cancer three different times. But I loved how you would look at Judd and Judd would look at you. And I thought, I love this couple and just that powerful testimony. So not that you can replicate everything you shared on the bus, but give us a glimpse into your life and the good God that we all serve.
Oh, definitely. Judd and I had our first child just a little after we'd been married 1 year. Amy Catherine was born, perfect bill of health. When she was 3 weeks old, we started seeing yellow in her eyes and her skin. And we took her to Barnes Children's Hospital in St. Louis. And the liver specialist there, he said, well, we can't do anything unless we do surgery. He said, to see if she has any ducts in her liver. So we had to make a decision, and we did decide to have the surgery done. And she did not have the ducts in her liver. So we lost Amy at 7.5 months of age. And it was very hard, but yet as she got worse and worse, we started praying, Lord, take her home. And he did. So we got through that, and then the Lord blessed us with two more children.
Now I don't want to jump in, but for listeners that are maybe scanning the dial, tuning in, when you say something like we got through that, obviously it was agonizing. It had to test your faith. You had to maybe to varying degrees question God. So how were you able to navigate through that?
Okay. Well, I have to admit this, though. At the time, I thought I was a saved woman. But I wasn't at the time. I had made a profession of faith when I was about 14. But I still, God got me through the agony and the pain of losing a baby. But I had not been saved yet, Mark. And it wasn't until after we moved over here to St. Joseph that I, you know, found the Lord. But it was a difficult time, but still, I believe the Lord saw through it because, you know, he had a time for me when he knew I was going to trust him. And that's, you know, so it was a very painful situation.
If I can say something, Mark, it was something the Lord used in both our lives, I believe, to bring us out of religious hypocrisy that we don't recognize very easily. And I was the same way. I was not truly saved, even though I was a church member since I was 7 years old and I'd made a profession of faith and was baptized. And you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I was able to deceive myself and didn't recognize that I was able to act like a Christian when I was with other Christians. And I didn't see the hypocrisy of when I would be at school among non-Christians and my conduct would change to their way. So the Lord used Amy's situation to get me to, I was being encouraged to try to do something for Amy that I didn't believe was scriptural. And I was trying to prove that it wasn't necessary for me to christen her or to baptize her, whichever. And as I studied those things, I guess I recognized to some extent that something was missing in my life, but it didn't happen immediately. Just as with Kathy, it wasn't until she moved to St. Joseph, but it was only about 3 or 4 months before I became pastor here that I actually came to reconciliation with the Lord in January 28th of 1973. But the Lord definitely used Amy's situation to get me started examining myself, as the Bible says, whether we be in the faith and to prove our own selves and know that Christ is in you except you be reprobate. And that matter of reprobate seems to be disapproved. And in the sight of God, I was falling short. But with people, I was able to fool people, but you only want to fool yourself so long because you don't want to remain lost.
Take us through some of that turning point where you looked at God through maybe new lenses or revealed truth, brought conviction, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that maybe might have said, well, I grew up in the church, of course I'm a Christian, or I'm American, and I go to church at Easter and Christmas time. So what was that turning point where you knew that if you were going to die, that you had established that personal relationship with an almighty God that loved you through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, I was 18 years old just after I'd graduated from high school when I surrendered to preach. And that experience was much more of an emotional one than my supposed conversion at the age of 7. But at the age of 7, I went through external motions that I saw other people do. And I was unwilling to recognize that I was not even praying to God to call upon the Lord at the time I was trying to be saved. I was just kneeling there thinking, is this the way it is? Is this the way it is? And then when we got up from praying, my mother said, well, what happened? And my tendency was to shrug my shoulders because, you know, nothing happened in the sense of a change. But I was too proud to do that. I said, Jesus saved my soul. Mm-hmm. And since nobody questioned that, we went with it.
Yeah, sure.
And then, of course, when I preached, I was able to preach what I'd heard others preach, and I was like a parrot. I was able to repeat what I heard others say, but when it came to experience, I couldn't witness to people by experience. And I felt like my chest was made out of glass and that people could see right through me. And this was a feeling I had for the several years after I started preaching. I was able to defend denominationalism. You know, I was convinced of, you know, the denomination I was in, that it was the right one. And but that's not salvation.
Right.
And I guess I compare myself to Judas Iscariot as the best I can do, because it seems that Judas Iscariot convinced John the Baptist that he was a repenting sinner and that he was believing on the Messiah that was to come, as John said, in, according to Luke in Acts 19, when he's telling about Paul, talking to the disciples from Ephesus. And the thing is, it seems like Judas Iscariot had a different motive for why he was following Christ. And I think it was very materialistic. And I was, you know, just doing the things that I observed other people do, but I had, being raised in a Christian home, I was kind of like a self-righteous Pharisee, in the sense that I felt I was pretty good anyway, and I was doing God a favor, because, you know, he was begging me to come. That's the way the invitation is, and so I need to do God a favor. He needs me, but I know it's different than that. I needed him, and I didn't recognize it until I was in 1973, when I began to see the sovereignty of God. And that was one of the doctrines that I had not heard preached when I was younger, and I could not relate to the aspect of repentance, godly sorrow for sin that leads to repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I experienced in 1973 that I had never experienced before.
In case you just tuned in, I have two new friends to my life and to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's Judd and Kathy Travis. They live and reside in the St. Joe area. And Pastor Judd is the pastor at the Faith Missionary Baptist Church there in St. Joseph. And he's preached there for a number of years. And they were recently on our bus tour to the Creation Museum this past Friday. And after hearing some of their testimonies, I thought, oh, I got to get some special guests on this week. And I know who I'm going to ask first. And it was Judd and Kathy. And I know, Kathy, with some of your testimony and sharing, as mentioned, you lost a child 7.5 months old. But also there were trying times in the future for you.
Yes. And I was 48 years old. In May of 1998, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in a stage 3C. And so I went through chemotherapy, and then about a year and a half later, I had another ovarian tumor and went through chemo treatments again. And then up 2 years after that, I started having a lot of head pressure. I kind of self-diagnosed myself that I had a brain tumor, and they were treating me for sinus condition. But I knew that sinuses didn't cause the pressure that I had in my head, so I insisted on a CT scan, and then they found a tumor in my brain, in the left occipital lobe of the brain. And so I had surgery at St. Louis U. They found out that brain tumor was also an ovarian carcinoma tumor. It had traveled through the bloodstream, which is rare. I mean, not too many women have had ovarian to the brain, but I did. And so I had several brain treatments, full brain treatments at Carl. And then after they were finished, a week later, they did an MRI of my brain. And the radiologist did not like what they were seeing, and so they sent me to Barnes Hospital in St. Louis for a gamma knife radiation to the spot that had the tumor in it. So since then, though, I have been clear of cancer. I still have checkups and had several brain MRIs after that for several years. But the Lord has granted me wonderful health, and I was anointed with oil at one point during the time that I had, I believe it was the brain tumor. So the Lord has blessed me so much through His care for me, and my prayers being answered.
Yeah, through the power of prayers from your congregation and your husband who loves you and family members.
And,
actually, we only have a minute or two, but at points, your days were numbered in a sense. I mean, they didn't know if you were going to recover or how, you know, the brain tumor was going to affect your thinking.
Yeah, because ovarian cancer is called the silent killer. It used to be. But, you know, I have lived now for over 14 years since it started. And so I am truly been blessed. So I just pray if anybody that gets ovarian cancer, that if they would want to contact me, I would love to talk with them because I think that I could be a help to them.
Yeah, what we'll do is off air, we'll get your phone number and we'll have it at the station, and Karen can kind of pass it on to the appropriate people that maybe have some questions or are struggling or even like may identify with some of your narrative, your story, Judd, of kind of feeling like you were a Christian because you were doing the right things, you were moral, you were involved in a church, but have not come to that place where they have really surrendered and recognized that they needed to repent and turn from their ways and cling to Jesus. That's the only way to God, the Father.
That's right.
Well, it's been a delight getting to know you too, and thanks for being a part. I know God orchestrated it so you could even be on the bus, because originally you didn't think you could make it, and you were thinking, are you going to do a trip maybe in October, November? And there you are on the bus sharing, and here you are today sharing with our radio listening family members, giving God the glory for the healing work he's doing and the transformational work drawing you both to himself through various ways. So thank you, God, for that.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.